regardless of what you went through this week, there's nothing like a little Rosie on the House and Marshall Tucker that'll put a little tap in your toe, a little grin on your face, a little sparkle in your eye. Come on in and join us. Boy, that sounds good. Gary, let it roll.
Oh, man.
All right, I'd like to take a couple minutes here. Let y'all know the lines are open at 1-888-767-4348 if there's anything you want to talk about.
Speaking of lines, we had a comment from Victor from Tucson. Just wanted us to know with the problem with the, he was listening in on the conversation about the tools roaming and the fiberglass bothering your hands and just the fact that the UV rays is what breaks that down and makes it so uncomfortable and splintery feeling. But he said he takes all of his shovels, anything wooden like that, and sprays it with shellac.
Yeah.
Says it'll buy you 10 years on your shovel.
It does. It does. And as aggravating as those little fiberglass shavings can be, they're not near as aggravating as that wood splinter that goes in the palm of your hand and comes out about 3 inches up your forearm.
Ouch.
Two, maybe 3 weeks ago now, my wood handle Corona tree loppers, the handle busted, split right in half. And I've been really happy with them, but I was at Stotes Equipment and saw Steel had metal handle ones.
Yeah, baby.
So I haven't got to break them in yet, but,
okay.
But I'll have a comparison from the Corona to the Steel. The first thing I noticed, though, when you open the Steel loppers to full width, you get at least a half inch wider of a bite than you could on those Corona ones.
Oh.
So you can get a bigger branch.
Close, yeah. I like that. Do you remember, Romy, the Las Vegas hardware shows we like to go to? One year they had that tape that's so good that when you break something,
Fiberflex.
That was really great stuff. So when you break something right in half, you could put it right back together. That'd buy you some years too.
It would, and you Fiberflex.
I think it's local, right?
The inventor was. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I've used it on a number of things. I didn't think about trying it on a splintered wood handle. Maybe
that, and then the shellac.
I think I already threw it away.
I think Stan actually field tested it on a crack shovel in the remodeling company. It worked really well.
It's incredible stuff.
It is incredible.
I keep extra at the house. It comes in different widths, like half, 1 inch, 2 inch, 4 inch, and you soak it in water, and it's an epoxy coating that's on this mesh that you would think of when you're doing drywall taping. And you've got the paper versus the mesh one, and you stick it in there and you get it wet and you wrap it around whatever two pieces you're trying to bond, and you squeeze it real tight and rub your hand over it, and that way the epoxy just completely coats everything. And man, 5 minutes later,
it's an incredible product.
Yeah,
it really is.
So what I haven't been, now this isn't what you see on TV where the guy with water, every time you turn on the TV, there's that infomercial. That guy even works with water. It doesn't. Nope. He puts a strip of tape on a plexiglass tub that water's pouring out of. I tried to put it on a leaking 100-gallon Rubbermaid tub, one of the horse watering stations that had just developed a crack and was leaking. And this stream that's coming out in the commercial is a lot stronger than this little trickle drip that was coming out of this horse trough.
Couldn't get it to work.
Wouldn't it here?
Hey, let me take a minute and talk a little bit about some of the questions I'm answering at the office all week long. And people are constantly calling us and asking us to come out and look at remodeling projects.
Now, I will say, when we dried it out and put a new piece of tape on it, that stuck. And that's been about 4 weeks, and it's still there holding water tight. But it didn't work in the water.
It didn't stop flowing water.
No.
Okay, just to be perfectly clear. Well, as I was saying, we take a lot of calls at the office during the week. A lot of my time is spent on the phone, a lot of time. And it's talking to homeowners who are exasperated or frustrated about how they're being treated by a particular contractor. As a matter of fact, one of our designers were at a remodeling call just the other day, and they pointed across the street and they said, "Now see that house remodel being done over there? That was a 4-week project that started last November, and the second contractor's in there now tearing out most of the work that the first contractor installed and never finished." And those are just that's just one story of the nightmares you can get involved in if you make the wrong selection of contractors in remodeling. And I talk people through just a real simple little step. Our referral network is not exclusive. I like you homeowners to have a couple people to talk to in each category. Everybody's going to have a different solution, not saying one's more right than the other, for any particular dilemma or project that you may be thinking about. So we like you to have a couple qualified choices, knowing that you cannot choose a bad contractor at the Rosie on the House referral network. And what we like for you to do is talk to a couple of them, and as you're interviewing, and I'm gonna limit this conversation to just the remodeling contractors. And if you go outside the Rosie on the House network, it's especially important that you use this buyer's guide. It's Rosie's How to Choose a Contractor Consumer Guide. It's at rosieonthehouse.com. You can find it. And I would encourage you to have the contractors meet you 2 or 3 different times. One of the things I like to tell people to do is, if you're contemplating a bathroom remodel, go to some of the places that showroom bathroom fixtures and ask them, what remodelers are y'all working with the longest, the most consistently, that you hear good things about? If you're going to be doing bathroom expansion, go to some of the tile showrooms. And although we're not doing very much tile in bathrooms anymore, we were talking to Drew from Rebath the other day. He says, people think they want tile, but when we get out there and talk to them, they really don't want tile. They don't want the grout. They don't want the maintenance. There's just too many other products out there that are so much lower maintenance than tile right now. But get a couple names of contractors and make appointments. And I would tell you to make the first appointment at your house and make sure they show up on time. In this interviewing process, the contractor should consider this like you're dating, right? And so how many of you have dated someone that had just a couple little wrinkles in their character, but you were sure if you married them, you could fix all that later, right? Well, you don't want to play that game in picking your contractors. If they can't show up on time for the interview process, if they can't show up on time for the dating process, I promise you, once you sign that contract, it isn't going to get better. If they couldn't show up on time for the estimate and for the first meeting, they're never going to show up on time to get the job done and to get it finished. So we like you to have that first meeting on the site where the work will be done. And your homework, you probably ought to be thinking about what it is that's driving this desire to remodel. Is it some traffic pattern in the house that's not working? Is it some plumbing fixtures that aren't working? Is it deferred maintenance that now needs to be taken care of? What's the driver? And have that itemized in priority to your desires as to how you'd like it taken care of. Meet the person. Have them walk through the project. And if they ask you what your budget is, you should disqualify them immediately. It's none of their business what your budget is, okay? You need to tell them, here's what I think needs to be done. Here's how I'd like it done. Here's what I'd like it to be when it's finished. Then if that contractor you're interviewing is worth their salt at all, they ought to be able to take a couple minutes, think their way through the project, and turn around and tell you what your budget should be. And you can take it from the word of experience, whatever you have set in your mind as the budget to get this project done. The right budget is probably that budget in your mind multiplied times two. And that,
or three.
Or three. Four. That is just what we have found going out on literally dozens of sales calls and estimates and interviews a week. We don't ever like to ask you what your budget is. You just tell us what you want done, and then we will tell you at our firm, we will tell you, okay, for what you want, for it to get done rosy right, this is the investment level you're going to need to be at. Are you comfortable? You're not. Many times people aren't comfortable with how much it's going to cost to get it right, installed the first time, on time. So we politely bow out of the process. Now, once you have this meeting on site at the house and you've told them what you want done and they have given you budget parameters, then you can probably eliminate, if you're interviewing three, you can probably eliminate one of them now because you didn't like the price they gave you, they showed up late, or they didn't show up prepared. So now we're down to maybe just one or two. Ask if you could meet them at their office. Now, a lot of small contractors' office is the front of their F-150 or 250 pickup truck, and that's okay as long as it's neat and organized. If there are fast food bags on the floor, if there's 3 years worth of receipts stacked up on the dashboard, if it's messy, if it's an unclean truck, that's exactly what your job is going to look like. All right? So go take a look at their office. See how they take care of their facility. And then third, if you're going to set up a third meeting, I would tell you go set up a third meeting at a very recent customer's home. Find someone this contractor recently completed a project with and go meet them at that home. Or better yet, go meet them on a job that's currently in progress and check for the security fencing, check for cleanliness, check for how they're protecting the homeowner's possessions, check to see how they've set up the dust screens and are keeping the construction zone totally and completely isolated so that it doesn't penetrate the rest of your home. Those are all just tips that I can tell you. If you'll follow them, chances of you making a mistake and selecting that remodeling contractor go down to almost zero.